The following audio content is from a class taught by Tim Smith in the Water From Rock weekly classes. For more information, see our website, waterfromrock.org. Welcome to Water From Rock. I am Tim Smith, and we are continuing our series, Life Wisdom from Proverbs. And today we will be looking at the lifelong quest for wisdom. Pablo Casals is regarded as one of the greatest cellists of the 20th century, if not one of the greatest cellists of all times. And when Pablo Casals was 81 years old, there was a movie made about him that was called A Day in the Life of Pablo Casals. And in the movie, he was asked, why do you continue to practice 4 to 5 hours a day? And Casals said, he says, because I think I'm making progress. Well, some years later, when he was 97 years old, a reporter asked him, why do you still practice so many hours a day? And Casals said, because I think I'm getting better. I like that because it is an encouragement to me to keep on keeping on, to keep on growing, to keep on seeking after wisdom. My father, in his later years, there was a proverb he would oftentimes quote. It was his own proverb, as he said, there's no fool like an old fool. And I remember that. And I think that certainly Solomon exemplifies that, as he was widely known as the wisest of men. But look at his later years. Yeah, my dad was right. There's no fool quite like an old fool. And so there is this encouragement, I think, for all of us to keep on seeking after wisdom, a life pursuit of wisdom, because we need wisdom in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our nation. I want wisdom. I want to pursue wisdom all of my life. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, there is a wonderful beatitude, a blessing that is pronounced on those who get wisdom, where it says, happy or blessed are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding, for her income is better than silver and her revenue better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than jewels and nothing you can desire can compare with her. Think about that. Greater than the wealth of gold and precious stones and stocks and money in the bank, more precious, greater is having wisdom. It says there's nothing that can be compared to finding wisdom. And as I read that verse, I think about the poem by T.S. Eliot in his poem, The Rock, and in which he asks, where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? And I think I could add a line to that today. Where is the information we've lost in all of the data? We're getting so much data. We're getting so much information. But I look at our culture today and I say, where is the wisdom we have lost? I want wisdom. I need wisdom. Now, our word wisdom is a translation of the Hebrew word chokmah. Its basic meaning is to have a skill. And it is used in the Old Testament for a number of practical skills. For instance, in the book of Exodus, it is used for the skill of making vestments for the priest. It's used for the skill of working with gold and silver and bronze in the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was used of the skill of embroidering fine linen. And then in a rather interesting passage that I just came across, it's used in Jeremiah 9:17 for the skill of women mourners. That's a special skill to come alongside and to know how to mourn with those who are mourning. Then in Isaiah 10:13, it uses the skill of statecraft. Boy, how we need that today. It's using Ezekiel 27:8 for the skill of navigating a ship on the high seas, far, far from land, without compass, without GPS, by knowing how to read the stars alone, the skill of taking a ship safely into home port. Now, in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, those are the books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Job, Chokmah is used for living life skillfully, for knowing how to create a life of blessing and beauty. I think we probably all have been blessed to know people who had the skill of living life. And Chokmah deals with the universal issues of everyday life. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at the first verses of the book of Proverbs. Begins there in chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. It is for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear. So if you have wisdom, there's still more wisdom, okay? Let the wise also hear and gain in learning. And just let me stop and interject and say, we can't be stagnant here. We must always be working towards wisdom or we go into folly. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning. And the discerning acquire skill to understand a proverb and a figure. I note here that the book of Proverbs have a twofold purpose. Number one, they are for a moral purpose. And then number two, they are for a purpose of increasing understanding, mental ability. We actually gain mental ability as we work at the Proverbs. I know people who do crosswords. I know people who work at Sudoku for their brain, for their mind. Well, let me say that if we work at going through the Proverbs, it's going to increase our intellectual ability. And we will find that as we study things that are wise, we will become wise. And then in verse 6 of Proverbs 1, he says that this book is to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, we all like riddles. We all like things that we're going to have to work at a little bit to figure out, in order to figure out. And the book of Proverbs will do that. Not all of these proverbs are going to be easy to understand. We're going to have to work at it. But that will increase our understanding. And then in verse 7, he gives what is the motto of the book of Proverbs, as he says, the fear of Yahweh, the fear of the Lord, the reverential awe of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my child, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching. So the book of Proverbs begins with a line where it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. Now, we're going to see that the book of Proverbs includes proverbs by other people than Solomon, but straight up, it wants us to identify this book with Solomon and his role as king. Because government in the ancient Near East was highly centralized, with the king establishing the course of the nation. The king established standards and norms, and he saw that the law was enforced. And so King Solomon, he writes and he gathers Proverbs because he wants to impart practical life wisdom to his children. Solomon wants readers to be able to learn from the experience of others. And I think about this, for instance, there's two ways to learn not to put your hand on a hot stove. The first way is, well, you put your hand on a hot stove and you learn. Or you listen to the instruction of others. Don't put your hand on a hot stove. And the purpose of the book of Proverbs is that we can learn by the wisdom, we can learn by the instruction of others. Now, I'm a child of the 60s, so when I was a young man back in the 1960s, we had our own proverb that said, don't trust anyone over 30. We thought we knew better. Don't tell me how to do it. And that motto really got us into a lot of trouble. So the book of Proverbs is that we might learn from the wisdom of others. I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years of age, it was a Sunday evening. We'd just come home from church, and I must not have learned very much from church that night because I remember exactly. I remember where I was standing in the room. I remember my exact words. 4 or 5 years of age, I said to my father, Dad, when is it going to be my turn to be boss? It seems like you've been boss long enough. I actually thought I knew better than my dad, okay? Because the book of Proverbs tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Now, I oftentimes talk about my grandchildren and how they are so wonderful, and they are, but yet the reality is, I know from my own experience as a child, as a parent, is that yet foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. We need wisdom. And so the book of Proverbs, it begins with the statement that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, because the author wants us to make a connection to Solomon and to an important event in the life of Solomon. You perhaps know this important event. I won't take time to read it, but I do direct your attention to it in 1 Kings chapter 3, where God appears to Solomon in a dream, and he said, ask what I should give you. Now imagine that God appears to you and he says, ask what I should give you. What do you think you'd ask God for? Well, as the story goes, it says that Solomon asked God for an understanding mind. And God was pleased with that, it says. And it says that God gave him wisdom so that all Israel heard, and they stood in awe of King Solomon because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him. Now, the New Revised Standard Version from which I'm reading, it says that Solomon asked God for an understanding mind. The New International Version says that he asked God for a discerning heart. The King James, getting a little closer to the Hebrew, it says that he asked God for an understanding heart. The Hebrew reads literally Shema Lev, a hearing heart. More than anything else, Solomon wanted from God a hearing heart, a heart for hearing God and a heart for hearing others. And it tells us that God was pleased with Solomon's request. Rather than asking God for wealth, rather than asking God for fame, rather than asking God for power, he asked God for a hearing heart, a heart that could hear God, a heart that could hear others. So that we read in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 34, as it says that people came from all the nations to hear the wisdom of Solomon. They came from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. It began with him asking God for a hearing heart. Because keep in mind that in the Hebrew scriptures, the ear is the organ for learning. Shema, lev, a hearing heart. Listen. Listen to God. Listen to your father, to your mother. Now, I want to note here that the actual Proverbs in the book of Proverbs do not begin until chapter 10, verse 1. So that the first 9 chapters are rather an exhortation to hear and to listen and to pursue wisdom. So 9 chapters building us up to the actual Proverbs. As we see that wisdom is a gift from God, but yet wisdom must also be diligently sought after. So there is this repetition of the importance of the ear about hearing wisdom from God, hearing wisdom from others. Let me just read a few verses that would show that. Chapter 1, verse 5. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning. Chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my children, your father's instructions. And these are the first of 13 commandments to listen. There are repeated commands to accept, treasure up, do not forget, do not let these escape, keep, listen, incline your ear, be attentive, do not depart from, do not forsake, keep, store up. So repeated again and again throughout the first 9 chapters is to hear, is to listen. And certainly our Lord Jesus Christ, he repeated this time and again, let anyone with ears listen. And James, who was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his little book in the New Testament, James, he says in James 1:19, you must understand this, my beloved, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak. That's why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. He wants us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Now, as we look at the book of Proverbs and as we look at the emphasis that is placed upon a hearing heart, we see what I call the foolish spectrum in the book of Proverbs. As the word fool occurs more than 100 times in Proverbs, and it's actually translating various Hebrew words. The word fool, it is descriptive of an attitude. It's descriptive of a bent of mind, a direction in life that needs to be changed. And there is always a moral element to the word fool. It's not talking about a person's IQ, but it's talking about a moral element within them. In the book of Proverbs, we see that foolishness is oftentimes contrasted with wisdom. And then in the next verse, wickedness is contrasted with righteousness. In one verse, foolishness is contrasted with wisdom, and then in the next verse, wickedness is contrasted with righteousness, because there is that moral element in wisdom and in the pursuit of wisdom. Now, the first Hebrew word that is translated fool is the word pethi, P-E-T-H-I, and I think of it as the simple fool. And it is oftentimes translated in the book of Proverbs as simple. And the word derives from a root suggesting being wide open, spacious, wide. Pethi is it's being gullible. It's being open to anything that comes along. And so we see in the book of Proverbs that the simple person has potential. The simple person is open to instruction and correction from the wise. So, for instance, in the first chapter of verse 8 that we read just a few moments ago, it says that the simple can learn from what happens to others. And then in chapter 19, verse 25, it says, strike a scoffer and the simple will learn prudence. So the simple is immature, inexperienced, gullible. So that, I'm quoting John Patterson here in his commentary on Proverbs, as he says that the faults of the pithy are the faults of youth. The sages had their chances here and they did not neglect it. The simple could be educated if the sages caught them early. End of quote. So the simple is in the wet cement years of life. They can be imprinted for wisdom. They can be imprinted for folly. The simple does not know better. Proverbs 7:7 tells us, the simple does not know better as he is a young man without sense. But there's hope for him. His openness can be turned into virtue or it can be turned into a vice. Then after the word pethy, there's the word kessel, K-E-S-L, which has been called the stupid fool. And the root idea of kessel is thickness with the idea of being thick-headed, okay? Thick-headed or dense morally. And the kessel, we probably all have known people like this, the kessel is confident that he is right and he refuses instruction. And one of the reasons why at this time in my life I am so taken with study of these various words for fool is because I don't want it in my own life, okay? I don't want to be this person who I'm sure that I'm always right and I refuse what other people have to say. But the kessel is one who persists in going his own way. For instance, in Proverbs 26:11, in this very vivid word, it says, like a dog returns to its vomit is a fool who reverts to his folly. Or in Proverbs 18:6, the kessel is contentious as a fool's lips bring strife. We've all seen that, haven't we? Or Proverbs 12:23, the kessel, the mind of a fool broadcasts folly. Turn on the TV tonight and see that. But he is almost impossible to correct. Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke strikes deeper into a discerning person than 100 blows to a fool. I had a fourth grade teacher who, along with the multiplication table and geography, she would teach through Proverbs. And I remember one of them that she would say from time to time, she would say, a word to the wise is sufficient. In other words, she just needs to say something and we hear. But a fool, 100 blows to him and he will not learn. The next spectrum point on the scale is Ewil, E-W-I-L. This is the hardened fool. As the Ewil will not listen to others, as he is sure he is right. Proverbs 12:15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to advice. Even when confronted by the wise, the hardened fool, the Ewil, only argues. Proverbs 29:9. It says, if the wise go to law with fools, there is ranting and ridicule without relief. Then the next fool on the fool spectrum is the Nabal, N-A-B-A-L. This is the God-denying fool. Now, this word is used only three times in Proverbs, so that its characters perhaps best explained in other scriptures, as in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, as it says, fools say in their hearts, there is no God. That's a fool. The Nabal, The God-denying fool, it says, brings disgrace on his family, as Proverbs 17:21. The one who begets a fool gets trouble. The parent of a fool has no joy. Now, it's interesting that there is no proverb in the book of Proverbs that is addressed to the fool, that is addressed to the Nabal. That is because he won't listen. I refer you here to the tragic story in 1 Samuel 25 of a man who actually has the name Nabal. He was the husband of Abigail, who later became one of the wives of David. But he was a God-denying fool. And finally, the last person on the foolish spectrum is Letz, L-E-T-Z, and this is the mocking fool. The word Letz means one who is a scoffer or scorner. We see in him in Psalm 1 the blessedness of the person who does not associate with the Letz, the scoffer. He refuses wisdom. He hates correction. Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 8 says, "Whoever corrects a scoffer wins abuse. Whoever rebukes the wicked gets hurt. A scoffer who is rebuked will only hate you. The wise rebuked will love you." I don't want to be a fool. I want to be wise. I want to listen to those who speak words of correction, those who rebuke me. I want to learn. Now, in summary, we could say that the wise are opposite of all of this. And here I quote my beloved Hebrew professor, Bruce Waalke, in his commentary on the book of Proverbs, where he says, instead of being wise in his own opinions, the wise is teachable. Seeking knowledge, the gullible need, and storing it up. The wise listens to instruction and counsel, accepts command, and even loves reproof. I want to be more like that. I don't want to be on the foolish spectrum. I want to make it a lifelong pursuit of wisdom. And I think what that is saying to me today is that I want that listening heart. I want increasingly a heart that hears God and a heart that hears others. I think about my years of ministry, and I fear that sometimes I spent so much time working on sermons, working on classes, and not enough time hearing God. I want to make more time for hearing God speak to my life, and I want to make more time for hearing others, listening to them, listening to correction, listening to reproof. I want to shut up more and to listen. I want to pursue wisdom. In this, I think of a poem that my mother taught me. I think of my father. He taught a lot through Proverbs that he would speak to me. My mother taught a lot through poetry that she would read to me or she would have me memorize. She actually called it learning by heart. I like that, where you go over something over and over so many times that you've learned it by heart. Well, there's a poem that she gave me that now, years later, I read quite differently than I did when I was a young man. But it is a poem called The Bridge Builder by Will Allen Drumgoole. It goes like this. An old man going alone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide, Why build you this bridge at the evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I've come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way, this chasm that has been not to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. I'm building this bridge of seeking wisdom for me, my family, my grandchildren, my church, and those around me. Solomon says, get wisdom. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Amen.